sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Pro-Life America Podcast. And I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and I'm joined here by my comical sidekick.
Well, thank you very much.
Sarah Waits.
And you know, you tell me so often that I'm not funny, but I'm going to save this recording so that I have on tape you saying I'm comical.
What I tell you is that you're not funny like you think you are.
So I'm funnier than I think I am?
No, you're not.
I don't know if y'all can hear that it's raining outside.
It is
torrential rain out there right now.
It's really coming down outside. Anyway, we've got some neat things to talk about this week. We've told you before about our response we've been getting because of the Black Lives Matter situation to our MAAFA 21 project. So many people are now interested in it that weren't interested in it before.
What you have to imagine has to be a little bit of their worst nightmare, because a lot of the mantra of the Black Lives Matter Antifa people is very pro-choice.
Very pro-abortion. These are godless degenerates, just like the rest of the abortion lobby. But there's a lot of people now becoming active that are saying, well, listen, if Black Lives Matter, then don't these Black Lives Matter, these little unborn children?
Shouldn't we be talking about how abortion disproportionately has affected the African-American community, how these clinics are located overwhelmingly in minority communities? Why aren't we talking about these things?
And, you know, I was talking to Johnny Hunter about this the other day. He's head of the largest black pro-life group in the country, and he's in MAAFA 21. And he was pointing out that one of the things that I have said is really ringing true with a lot of people, and that is that abortion is the number one instrument of voter suppression ever devised. It reduces the black political power in this country like nothing else ever has. The Klan couldn't come up with anything better than abortion to reduce the black political power in this country.
Well, this is stuff that the political leaders in the 1970s in the African-American community were warning about.
Yeah,
and if you
look at
what happened, it played out just as they were talking about.
Right.
You know, they had fought segregation against racism and workplace discrimination.
Jim Crow laws, all
Jim
the
Crow
other
laws. Go down the list. Everything that was holding the African-American community back, and they were winning. And now, if you look at today, their voting power has been severely reduced.
Well, people like Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad back in the 60s, all these so-called radical civil rights groups were all talking about this.
Even Jesse Jackson was talking about this until he ran Democrat, and then all of a sudden he was pro-choice.
Then all of a sudden, the greatest civil rights issue of the day was women's right to choose. Literally, one week he was calling for a complete constitutional ban on all abortions. And literally, in a week, he was talking about woman's right to choose being the number one civil rights issue of our time.
He sold the African-American community down the river. That's exactly what happened.
He's a political whore. That's what he is. And yeah, I know, but
I could see over there you didn't want to say it.
But that's what he is.
Yeah.
And that's what he's always been. And most people that follow politics know that. But anyway, people ought to, you can go on Google and read it, Malcolm X's quote about white liberals.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because I just saw that on Instagram the other day.
Really?
I don't remember who played it, but they had that, I guess it was a talk show.
Yeah.
He said he didn't have a talk show, but he was talking about white liberals in Hollywood.
Right. How white liberals were going to be selling black people down the river. And he said they'll try to be your friend. They'll look like they're your friend, but then they'll sell you down the river in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And everything that Malcolm X was saying has come true.
Yeah.
And if I were black, I would see my biggest enemy not as the redneck Republican. It'd be the white liberal that would be my enemy. I'd recognize that that guy right there is somebody to be feared. But anyway, this is gaining traction, gaining momentum.
All the attention is looking back at not just things that are going on today, but historical figures, especially with the statues. And one of those has been Margaret Sanger.
Yeah.
You know, for years, the abortion industry has been trying to say, nothing to see here.
Right.
Yeah, we'll keep moving. Or her racism was just an unfortunate aspect of her that really played no part.
Just a part of the times.
Yeah, and played no part in her views or anything. Despite the quotes out there that was making it abundantly clear that this was part of what formed her views on birth control.
Now they're trying to get away from her like her head's on fire.
They renamed that New York Planned Parenthood that was named after Sanger.
Took her name off the door. But now we're having all of these people come out of these pro-abortion organizations.
NARAL,
Planned Parenthood, National Organization for Women, this American Federation of College Professors or something like that. And it's a very hardcore pro-abortion group. They're all under fire now. Their own employees and sometimes board members.
Yeah, there's been some board members who have come out and
National
said
Organization
enough.
For Women, most radically pro-abortion organization in America. The president of that organization just resigned because some board members and staff members were coming forward saying this is a racist organization and she had to go. She's gone.
Renee Bracey Sherman, a former board member of NARAL, quit the board because she tweeted, "Anti-blackness and refusal to address racism is why I quit the board."
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, can't be more plain
can't be more
than
blunt than that.
And it's not like she's a pro-lifer. You know, it's not like even these people come out and change their mind on abortion and become pro-life, and they say, oh, yeah, well, she's pro-life now. She's lying.
In fact, I went to go look at that tweet, and one of her following things is like, screw whatever anti-choice organization that tries to quote this.
The point is, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes.
And this is being driven by the Black Lives Matter, the environment that we're in, and so forth.
And really and truly, I think these organizations are trying to get out ahead of this. I think they're trying to say, our bad, mea culpa, we did these bad things, but here we're making amends, we're doing these things, hoping that people will take their apology and just keep on walking.
Let me tell you, you're being nice. What they're trying to do is hold on to their federal funding.
Yes.
That's what this is all about. It always comes down to money. Mm-hmm. Listen, the abortion industry doesn't do anything unless there's a dollar sign attached to it.
And well, it's not just about federal dollars. It's also about the dollars from their donors.
From donors, that's right.
Because if you're a donor who's pro-choice and you're hearing these things that are coming out, you're not going to be dishing out the dollars when states start defunding them.
Right.
And that's what they do. Anytime that they have any sort of challenge where they think they may lose funding, they do a huge campaign and rake in hundreds of thousands of dollars at the minimum.
Well,
saying,
if I'm a donor, I'm not going to be giving them money right now because let me tell you what my thought process is going to be. Mm-hmm. My thought process is if all these people now are coming out and you're having the leaders of these groups having to retire, having to bail because they're racist, and all these employees are coming out who are not pro-life, who are still pro-aborts, saying there's widespread overt racism here. What I know as a donor is it's very likely that these organizations are going to get sued.
Yep.
And they're going to lose a ton of money. And so if I give them $100,000 or I give them $1 million or, you know, $100 or whatever it might
$200,
be.
$200,
yeah. That may just wind up going into the pocket of the attorneys who represent the people that sue them.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be too excited about giving them money if I think that that might be what happens to the funds that I give them.
Yeah. Especially if the allegations are true.
Yeah, and they're very hard when you have a whole bunch of people coming out saying.
Yeah, and BuzzFeed did an article on this, BuzzFeed of all people, if you can imagine it. But they were talking about how the employees that had come out didn't just come out and say this happened. They provide screenshots of emails, text messages, internal staff surveys, union proposals, and other internal documents to support their claims. So the documentation is there.
Well, first off, if it weren't true, if they had a leg to defend themselves on, all these people wouldn't be quitting. The leader of NARAL, that's probably a pretty good job. I imagine it pays pretty well and you get lots of perks. You're going to resign over this if you think you can defend the organization? No. These rats are jumping the ship is what it amounts to.
Yeah. And just late June, the Planned Parenthood of Greater New York CEO, Laura McQuaid, she was ousted because of racism and mismanagement. She was accused of that.
And that's a
a nice paying job.
Absolutely. That's a very good paying job. But the good thing is President Trump has made it clear that one of his priorities, if he wins re-election in the second term, is to take Planned Parenthood's money away. And I suspect that that'll be something that happens quickly. After his re-inauguration.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll be something that happens real quickly. Yeah, hopefully.
Come in from the parade and he's going to get the pin ready.
Right. And I've had some people tell me that are in the know or in that environment saying that he has made some statements that not just taking money away from Planned Parenthood, but that ending the abortion holocaust is a priority for him in a second term.
You know, if he signs anything, I wonder if he'd send that pen to Nancy Pelosi, a nice little gift box for her.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Remember she had the platter and the specialized pins where they were signing everything?
Yeah. Oh, but anyway, this is starting to get out of hand for them. And, you know, some of these quotes that you found, too, in this article, they were talking about two things that I thought were interesting. One was the NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah. So many employees from NARAL were afraid or hesitant to speak because NARAL made them sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. And they interpreted that as preventing them from talking about this. Well, BuzzFeed tried to reach out to them. NARAL was like, no, 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 no. These are not intended and would not be used to prevent any current or former staffer from sharing public concerns about discrimination and harassment. Right. Does anybody believe that?
Nobody. You'd have to be dumb as a rock.
NDAs are legal tools to coerce people into silence. Yeah, that is their purpose. That's all they're designed to do.
They're intimidation. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, these people can say that all they want to. Mm-hmm. But if one of these people goes out and even touches on violating an NDA, their lawyers will have a different opinion.
Yes.
They'll be suing them. And that's what these people know.
Yeah.
And then also he found some quotes there where they're actually using African-American people as props.
Mm-hmm. So the allegations that are being thrown at Planned Parenthood are pretty similar for NARAL. It basically breaks down to they're kept in low-level positions. Sometimes it's race-based disparities. They're not treated the same as their white coworkers.
They're not paid the same.
They're not paid the same. When they bring up issues of race, eye rolls happen. But at NARAL, the allegations are that the staff were a minority. There's only a few of them. But they were concentrated in lower paid positions within certain branches of the organization where they didn't have much control over the operations of anything. But it says the few staff members of color who did work there were frequently used in photos and at public events.
So they're using them as props.
Exactly.
And make it look like, oh, look here, how nice we treat our African-American employees.
Look, we're diverse. Here is our one right. African-American person.
Right. And you know, you had mentioned one time we were talking about this, about Gosnell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're going to treat employees this way, then you can't believe that all of a sudden then with minority patients, they're going to be treating them well.
Yeah. And Gosnell's trial, it came out that white women were routinely taken to clean, well-kept rooms with televisions where Gosnell himself looked after them. But minority women were sent to the clinic's dirtiest rooms and were seen by medically unqualified staff. Now, one witness said she asked Gosnell about this, and his response is, well, this is just the way the world works.
So the white women get the Cadillac treatment, and the black women get back of the bus treatment somewhere.
Yeah, so this is not just within Planned Parenthood and NARAL and NAF. Right. And if the whole goal behind your industry is to wipe out the African-American community, then you can't be surprised by things like this happening.
This is totally to be expected. You'd be surprised if this wasn't the way things were going on.
Yeah.
But the reality is that this is getting a lot of attention now for us because of MAFA 21. And we have it on good authority. I had a long conversation just this past weekend with someone who has gotten all this information to the Trump administration and actually to Donald Trump himself about our MAFA 21 project and about our child predator project, where Planned Parenthood is using federal tax dollars to protect men who rape children and further the trafficking of these children for sex and all the other things that we see going on in this society. Planned Parenthood is using taxpayer money to do that with. And from what I understand, Trump is pretty incensed about it and wants to do something about it.
Well, anybody should be. Let's take out the abortion issue for a second and say that you're pro-choice. You have an organization that is not reporting the sexual abuse of minors. They are what appears to be violating civil rights laws and operating with racist practices, and it's rampant.
On the government dime.
And federal dollars are going to this.
Right.
Tell me another organization that this would have been allowed to fly. Tell me what other industry this would be allowed.
Like I said, if you're going to do this, you might as well give federal funding to the Klan.
Yeah.
This country would be in the streets if the Klan were getting federal dollars.
And this is an open secret within the abortion industry. There's a quote inside this BuzzFeed article that's from somebody who used to work at a major PR firm who worked with reproductive rights organizations. Organizations, plural, not just one. And they said, I do think it's worse in reproductive rights because it's insidious. The movement prides itself on working on issues affecting the most marginalized in society, women, trans, non-binary folks, and people of color. And yet, in their own workplaces, they don't value those people.
Right.
So if you have somebody who even works at a PR firm who knows this, you know it's ramped in. It's like the Harvey Weinstein type secret. Everybody knows and everybody smells something stinking, but nobody says anything.
Yep. They have a vested interest in keeping their mouth shut. I think this is just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
And we're playing a big role in this. We've already done some things to get in front of these people. And as you know, in the next week or so, we're going to be doing something to get directly
really
in front.
Ratchet this up.
Yeah. We're going to be ratcheting this up. We're going to get directly in front of the people at these Planned Parenthood facilities and at these abortion clinics that are not Planned Parenthood facilities. And we're going to get from them directly and say, look, we always hear this information or this charge that these two groups ought to get together, the pro-choice and pro-life side ought to get together and look for common ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, that's never going to happen. There is no common ground between us.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, one side's going to win and one side's going to lose, and that's going to be the way it is.
But we can have common ground over racism.
Right, but at least we can all agree that neither side should have racism in mm-hmm. it. And it's up to both of us to fight against it when we see it.
Yeah.
So let's let that be the common ground. We're mm-hmm. not going to get common ground on abortion, but work with us mm-hmm. to help root this racism out. Yes, it's going to hurt your organization, but you got to take your lumps. The chickens are coming home to roost, right?
Well, if you're talking about hurt, I mean, the people who are working there are clearly being hurt by these practices. There is one woman who said, "I've worked at plenty of nonprofits and I have never been treated so horribly in my life as I was at Planned Parenthood, to the point where I grew very depressed, had a lot of anxiety, and cried in the bathroom almost every day."
Okay, and these people are concerned about the harm mm-hmm. that coming forward and working with us to root out this racism in the organization is going to cause their organization. What they need to understand is, it's not us, our life dynamics, that's going to cause the harm. It's the fact that you guys knew this was going on for decades and kept your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. That's the harm. And so that's why I say the chickens are coming home to roost. You're just now starting to pay mm-hmm. for behaviors that you've been engaged in for decades. So at some point, you had to know that this was going to happen. And I think it's like a guy that works at a bank and he's embezzling money from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And he just takes a little bit here and there and he uses it to maybe buy a nicer car than he would. But he doesn't take so much that it just jumps out and it's obvious. But he has to know at some point
mm-hmm.
you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
At some point this is going to come out. So he might steal $20 out of the till today to go to lunch on, take his girlfriend to lunch on, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and get caught. And he might go to jail for 15 years for that. He's not going to jail for the $20 he took that day. This is the chickens coming home to roost mm-hmm. for the fact that he was doing this over a long period of time. That's what the abortion industry needs to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us that's causing you this harm. You've already sown the seeds of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the old deal. You seed the wind, you have to reap the whirlwind. And that's what's happening.
One thing I want to mention, too, is that there's a branch of Planned Parenthood in D.C., and it turns out that all of the women of color who worked there just happened to be, out of random happenstance, I'm sure, all placed together in a row. Because that randomly happens.
Segregated them
out.
Sure. Yeah.
They're segregated.
Right.
And that employees, other employees, including their manager, would refer to that cluster of women sitting together as the barrio or the ghetto girls. How insulting.
And imagine that a major corporation, imagine General Motors.
Did
something similar to that. They had a room mm-hmm. where there was a whole bunch of employees and they put all the black employees over in one area and called that the ghetto area. I mean, whoever those people were, they'd owned the majority of stock in GM before this thing was over.
Yeah.
But this is going on in the abortion industry and these people can complain about pro-lifers like us going to out them on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, your problem is not us. Your problem is that you let this go on and you kept your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. You created this for yourself. And now, like I said, the chickens are coming home to roost. By the way, before we go, let's remind people of our petition.
Yes. We need to be telling Congress to immediately investigate this. The evidence is there.
Right.
We want them to go investigate, and we want them to defund these organizations.
Just Planned Parenthood alone,
mm-hmm.
$1.5 million a day.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood is sucking up to the trough for $1.5 million a day, and we're writing them a check.
Yep. It is coming out of your pocket and my pocket. Everybody's right. pocket. Look to your left and your right.
Everybody that gets a check.
Everybody. You're right. paying into this.
Right.
You are paying for racism, essentially.
Right.
If these allegations are true, which I believe they are, you yep. are paying for racism. And I think it's time for the American people and Congress to say, you know what? Not on my dime.
Right. It's got to stop.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
So you need to go to lifedynamics.com/defund racism.
Defund racism. That's right. You know, a minute ago, you said this is coming out of everybody's check. On a lighter note, you know, Sheila, who's not shy about telling you what she thinks.
Yeah.
To her own detriment very often.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she had worked for us ever since she was a little kid, and we'd give her a little stuff to do in the mailroom and mm-hmm. pay her $2 an hour or something.
Child labor.
When she wasn't worth that much, believe me, with what she was doing.
You're real generous.
Right. But anyway, when she got older and mm-hmm. could do more, mm-hmm. then we actually brought her in
paycheck, yeah.
brought her in as an employee. And as long as I live, I'll never forget this. But It was so funny. And I laughed so hard at her because she got her first paycheck and she was really happy because now she was like all the other employees. She's actually going to get a check and she's going to open up her account. And
she's going to start to live the high life is what she thinks.
Well, anyway, the first time she came to get her check, came to my office and I handed her the check and she knew how many hours she had worked and she multiplied that times how much we were paying her. I think at the time we were paying her $5 or $6 an hour or something like that.
Yeah, my first job was $5.25 an hour. I can remember that.
So she knew how much money she had coming. Mm-hmm. So I gave her a check and she said, "What's this?" And I'm looking at the check and I said, "That's your check." "Yeah, but that's not enough. I've worked this number of hours and I got this much coming." I said, "Yeah, I know, but now that you're getting a regular check and you're a regular employee, we have to take out taxes." Mm-hmm. "Taxes? For what?" And the look on her face, and she's looking at me like I'm cheating her out of money. Like I'm getting this difference between what she thinks she's got coming.
Well, I remember looking at my first paycheck, you know, on mine, they had the little pay stub that was attached to it, and it told you what they took out for these different things, these different programs. And I'm like, well, who the heck is FICA and where are they going with my money?
Right.
Like, I knew Social Security and some of these other things, but I'm like, who is FICA? There's the largest chunk out of there. Who are these people?
Sheila, she was so mad, and she was indignant. You know how she gets. And it's almost like she's got her hand on her hip looking at me like, "Give me my money." You know, I said, "Sheila, this is, what does this pay for?" And I said, "Well, who do you think pays for the roads and the police department and all that?" "Okay, yeah, I guess that." And I couldn't resist. I said, "Well," and of course, then there's a lot of people that don't want to work. And and the government gives them money. And she said, "What?" And I said, "Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that are just lazy and they don't want to work. And the government has welfare programs and gives them money."
Messing with her.
Oh, yeah. It was so funny. But
this reminds me of the, I think it was campus reform, was going and talking to people on campus and asking students about the Green New Deal. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, I really support it." And then they started reading in there and they're talking about how people don't want to work, we'll get a stipend. And they're like, "Wait a minute. Hold on a second. This one girl, I remember, it was so funny. She's like, "I don't want to work. I'm here to get a good education, but I don't even want to be here. I'm not going to pay for somebody else just to do nothing."
I wish I had thought at the time, when Sheila was all indignant about this check, to say, "And also, you're giving some money to Planned Parenthood," because she'd already developed a pretty distasteful feeling toward Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
She'd have had a heart attack. I mean, she would have
gone through the roof.
It was pretty funny. But anyway, that's it. We're out of time. You got anything else?
No, I don't have anything else. But I will put a link to this interesting article if people want to go read the BuzzFeed article. One interesting little side note that people do need to know is that it was released on a Friday afternoon, right before the Republican National Conventions were set to happen. And of course, that sucked the air out of everything. You're not going to tell me that they weren't trying to bury this.
Notice that if this were pro-life groups, it'd be the lead story on the evening news every night.
Yes.
And none of the media has covered this.
The media would be like, "See, we've been telling you for years that these people are bigots and that they hate women and it's a Handmaid's Tale all over again."
It's not only the war on women, it's the war on minorities.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it would be posed as.
But with these people, it's just quietly slipped in
All we're hearing is crickets. That's the media over this issue.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's it.
That's it.
Till next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
No, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.